local people, quick question. Have you ever thought to yourself, I've been passed up for a promotion, but I don't understand why? Or I want a change in my career, but where do I even begin? We know we're not the only ones that have had these questions, and that's why we started this podcast. It's called Gems for the Journey, and we hope that as you listen, you can discover some gems for your career journey. I'm Leah Murphy, and in my life, I wear many hats. I'll tell you about just three of them. I am an engineer by trade, a career coach, and entrepreneur, all while working hard to stay happily married and raise three beautiful children.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot of work, Leah. My name is Amma Gordon. I'm a brand marketer, entrepreneur, and serial passion pursuer with a business approach to my endeavors, but always with a creative spin. And we're two really great friends that have supported one another throughout our entire professional careers. I mean, we've been through it all, and we're here to share some authentic stories that include key successes and setbacks. You're not going to want to miss this.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Career Gems for the Journey. We are still very deep in this quarantine game. And this episode is going to just be Amma and I. So, obviously, I'm Leah.
And this is Amma, and we are back without guests today. We're getting nice and cozy with you guys again. And
Remember us?
yeah, remember us, Amma and Leah? We are here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Just the two of us. So, we're trying to stay with the culture, right? Like we're making sure that what we share with our guests, with our, future family members and our community of listeners is relevant, right? And timely. And to this episode will be no different, right? The new term that has been widely coined and often used and faux offense taken in the world of Karens and and the likes. There's Karens, there's Beckys, I think there might be Patties, I've also heard, but I think Karens is the top used.
We
It's a slang.
all know them. We have seen them. We have experienced them in some form or fashion and in some capacity. And yes, they come in different names, but the persona is Karen. I mean, mine that I'm going to talk about today, her name is Sally. But listen, I mean, it all sounds the same, right?
It all sounds the same.
I mean,
I'm
is it
trying not
possible?
to laugh. I'm trying. It's not funny, but I'm trying not to laugh because it's just so ridiculous at this point, right? How many Karens are out there? How many videos we're seeing of people come in and have some faux authority over other human beings? It's nonsensical.
Instead of acknowledging that, hey, this is a systemic issue of privilege and perception, and there are assumptions being made about me and the circumstance based on what I look like, whether it's the color of my skin, whether it's the age that they deem me to be, whatever the circumstance. This has been happening for a while. And I think as it relates to this most recent story, I think what really striked me, right? Because sometimes, and this is unfortunate, y'all, sometimes you just get used to being discriminated against. You have your armor up and you're prepared, right?
Whoa. You can't just flow past that. You can't just keep going. You cannot. We have to put a pin in that. Ding. Sometimes you get used to being discriminated against. You've been navigating in this way for so long that it's like it doesn't even strike a nerve all the time anymore.
No, you have adjusted to the voice change, to the difference in the word usage, to the change in your hair, to the change in how you may groom, if you're a gentleman, lack thereof, or grooming of facial hair. You have adjusted, and you have, as a person of color, you have just chalked it up to this is what's required in order for me to reach my objectives in life and in my profession.
You mentioned corporate earlier. There are many, many microaggressions that people who work in corporate, especially Black and brown people who work in corporate America, experience all the time. So, you know, maybe it's not as crazy as, you know, somebody calling the police on you, but, you know, there's tone or there's, you know, you sound so articulate, right? So it's like a little bit low key. It's a little lower vibration of a Karen, but it's definitely a microaggression.
Listen, I was on the phone with my brother recently, and this is how you know it's bad. We were chit-chatting, and then all of a sudden, I hear him speak a certain way, and I shouldn't have been able to clearly identify where I could just blatantly ask the question, are you talking to a white woman? And for his response to say, oh, yeah, I got to switch it up.
Right? I mean, we can laugh at it, but it's like...
He was in Office Depot, Leah. Office Depot.
Shopping for pens and office supplies.
Trying to make a copy of something, some document. And I knew from the way that he had changed his tone, his word usage, his overuse of thank you so much, right? In that high-pitched tone that you do, who he was speaking to. These are things that have been normalized. These are things that are common. And I've brushed off as a sense of normalcy in my life. Have you not, Leah? I mean, I don't know. Am I the only one here?
No, you're absolutely not the only one. Absolutely not the only one. And I'm going to take a little bit different direction just for a second, because the tough part is it's so conditioned. And it's just like you were saying about your brother, like, you know who he really is and you can identify it from the outside looking in. But when he's in these other environments, that's the only, you know, version of him they know. So he literally has to put on a mask. He has to put on a facade to be non-threatening or, you know, to create as much comfort and neutral energy between him and this other person. And it's like, he's doing all of the work in the equation. He's doing all of the work in the interaction, because we've been trained by our family, our parents, institutions, school, all of these places to
code switch,
right? And help us modify our true authentic selves in order to seem non-threatening and be able to, you know, give the people in those places, in those organizations, some sense that, you know, we're not the problem. We're not the type of Black people you need to be concerned about, when we're all Black, right? We are, you know, I am a Black woman and every other Black woman who's on earth, we are all the same thing. We are all the same people. Just because, you know, I have a degree, just because I went to college, just because I live in a certain neighborhood, that nobody, they don't see that. They don't take the time to ask before they discriminate. Hey, did you, you know, would you happen to be an engineer? Right? They're not asking those questions. They see a Black woman, like you were saying earlier. They see a Black man, and they make their instant judgment. And when I say they, it's a collective they. We're talking about Karens. We know all white people aren't bad.
Right, and let's clarify that, right? It's a mindset. It's not an individual. It's not a race of people. It's not a gender of people. It is a mindset.
Yeah, so this episode is going to touch on that, because it's just real, right? And we know that all of our listeners are having visceral reactions, right, to seeing the videos.
You know, I mean, this is called Career Gems for the Journey, right? This is a podcast about helping to uplift individuals so that they can just elevate in their career, you know, whether it's entrepreneurialism or corporate America. And we have all acknowledged, I mean, it's clear as day, if you didn't want to accept it, the video is proof that Karens exist.
The example that Ama is going to go through definitely is one that we have experienced on a lower level.
I mean, I was going to say, my example, the story that I'm about to tell y'all today is not a microaggression. It is an outright disrespectful Karen moment. And I mean, let's be real, COVID is still alive and well, and in quarantine, oh my God, even in quarantine, when one would think you're safe, nope, Karen found me. She found me.
Hashtag stay at home, and yet and still, you're still having Karen experiences.
And let's be clear, this is not my first Karen incident, right? I mean, I've been interacting and having to deal with Karen moments, Karen mindsets, and just straight up Karens almost all of my adult life, right? But in this particular incident that I'll go into later. I think even doing this podcast with you prepared me and helped me address it in a more relaxed, a more calm. And I've always been professional, but just looking at it beyond just me, I think up until this point, I would look at myself, like, is there something I did wrong? What's wrong with me? How did I cause this to happen? What did I contribute to this situation? And I think just working with you, Leah, I mean, someone told me recently, right, that it is important to surround yourself with champions, have a community of champions, because at times when you start to doubt yourself, when you start to doubt that you are a champion, you need someone to just remind you that you are a champion too. I mean, because Karen's, I mean, let's be clear, this mindset, the whole, it's designed to put people down. So we need champions around us to lift us up. And for me, Leah, one of those people is you. So thank you.
Well, of course. I think so. You're so right, though, the conditioning that we experience of like, oh yeah, this should be normal. It's no big deal. You know, we no longer are incensed, right? We're not flying off the handle anymore because it's so common and it's so conditioned. But I also think that the more we have the dialogue and the more we actually like talk about it as something that needs to change, hashtag people need to do better, like do better. Before, so much of this stuff was like kept in the background and we only talked about it like privately, right? Between the two of us or between friend groups where it was a safe space. I think bringing it out into the light is really helpful as our allies and people who are in corporate America, people who are in entrepreneurial endeavors with us that we're partnering with. Like, we need you to talk about it too. We need you to recognize it too. We need you to acknowledge, you know, when you see these types of things, you need to call it out. So we need everyone to be a part of the solution if we really want to see a change. And, you know, you should always know that I'm here to shout you out, to big you up, to acknowledge your greatness, to give you the opportunity to say like, no, am I tripping? No, you're not. You're not tripping. Mm-hmm. Karen's tripping though. Karen
right.
Definitely.
That's my Leah. Everybody needs a Leah in their life. Guys, get yourself a Leah. Hashtag get a Leah in your life.
She squads are everything, right? Like, you gotta have it. You gotta do it.
But what I wanted to kind of get into today, Leah, was what I thought, right, was a little bit of a safe zone. We are still in COVID times. It is still very much a pandemic here in the US and globally, right? I am still overall, generally speaking, sheltering in place. I don't go many places. So I thought I was safe. I thought I could avoid the Karens. I thought I could avoid having to code switch. And somehow it found me. It found me while I was minding my business, working in my home office, you know.
Right? It permeated into your safe zone. Like,
oh my gosh, Leah, but how? How, Sway? How?
So wait, I got it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear first, though, how you thought you would possibly be able to avoid it. Do you work? What do
because
you do that allows you to not have to engage with these people and feel safe?
I will tell you right now, I'm an entrepreneur that has left the traditional corporate setting to pave my own way, to charge my own path and build my own business. I have started my own business. I have a team of people that don't even live in the same country. Everything we do is virtual because of COVID times, right? I am not interacting in a corporate setting where I work for someone else. I work for myself. My bosses are clients, right? I mean, and that's an episode for another day. The people I report to are those that I'm wishing to satisfy and provide with services so that they keep coming back. Okay. And again, this is not right. And this is not a retail store. This is not a retail business. I provide consulting, management services, all still very virtual, right? I don't have to be in front of anyone. I can wear my hair how I want. I can dress how I want and still be deemed and respected as such to deliver a quality product, which is more so intellectual property versus something physical, intangible. We don't have to be in the same space. And I work from home. I work from a home office. I go from my office to the kitchen, to the balcony, to the living room. That is the extent of where I work. And I don't have colleagues that live with me. So that is why, you know, not to get down to the very basics, but that is why I thought I could avoid it, especially.
No, thank you. I needed our listeners to know what your experience is, what you do, the game that you're playing, and the way you're showing up and making, you know, exceptional boss moves. But you said something, and I just want to make sure that we don't move on too quick from it. Why does how you wear your hair matter? How is that relevant for you?
You know, that's also a fit, you know.
Right. I sounded real therapy there, but that was totally right? A leading question, because we are both Black women who wear our hair in a variety of ways, but go, I digress. Carry on, please.
Yeah, that is, you know, that is a deep rooted question, right? That is a loaded question, whether people understand it or not. But I'm a Black woman. My hair is not naturally straight. And it has a curl pattern. And anyone with curly hair, right, no matter what your race background, if you have curly hair, you know the hair decides what it's doing, right? You don't decide. The hair decides, and it is impacted by a number of external factors and some internal factors, right? You know, what you're eating, what your diet, all those things, you know, genetics, right? And then it's also weather, right? And how recently you watch it. It's so many things, right? And not to give a whole lesson on, you know, Black hair or curly hair. But yeah, so that is the reason why it matters. So when I want to be sure that I am perceived a certain way, I'm taken seriously, there is an overall look that over the course of the years I have put together as, here is, if I do this, I am often perceived and taken much seriously, much quicker. I don't have to give too much background. I don't have to spend 15 minutes laying out all my credentials and explaining to whoever the audience is why they should take me seriously, whether it's something personally driven, whether I'm at the bank or I'm having a conversation about a mortgage or make, you know, a purchase of a property for myself, or whether it's in a professional setting and it's related to any, you know, business objective or corporate environment.
You have a uniform of sorts.
I have a uniform of sorts that starts with the top of my head.
Right. In order to be taken seriously, like you've developed, and I say you, I absolutely know exactly what you're talking about. I know how that feels. I know the choice, right? Like standing in front of your closet and deciding, like, what am I going for today? Who am I going to encounter? And what will they perceive of me if I am wearing this versus that? If my hair looks like this versus that? If I have on these earrings versus these earrings? Like, all of these are decisions and intersections that people of color, and we're women of color, Black women, make on a consistent basis in order to show up in the world fully. So just so we're clear for the listeners, this is not something that Amma is doing as an isolated, like over-exaggerated thing. Nope, we're all in this game doing the same thing, because the world has conditioned us to navigate whiteness and to navigate non-Blackness.
Ooh, that was a deep statement, Leah. Say that again.
The world has conditioned us to navigate whiteness. And just one thing that I wanted to add to that is, it always trips me out because racism is real. It is real. It's a fact. There's some people who are just discovering it in 2020, and we're just going to leave them to the side. We're going to let them catch up, and we're not going to like rewind the tapes to get them back on track. But I think to the degree in which it impacts your life and the how for Black people is varying, right? It's very different based on where you work, what you choose to do, where you choose to live. So these changes, these code switches that we make are as a result of having negative interactions about ourselves, our appearances, the way we show up, the way we communicate, the way we are assertive. We've gotten all of the data, all of the evidence has told us, no, your natural way of approaching things makes people who don't look like you uncomfortable. So, you know, we're constantly making choices. I think now, you know, in our more, you know, in our later years, in our 30s, now the confidence and the self-assuredness and the ability to be authentic is much greater, right? Like we're in a place where it's like, listen, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, then, you know, I have enough skin in the game and I have enough credibility to be able to navigate despite your perception. But certainly early on, and I can speak for myself in my younger years, I was painstaking about exactly what you're saying, wearing my hair straight, wearing post earrings all the time, not wearing heels that are too high because, you know, how would I be perceived, or, you know, would I be over sexualized if I wore something that was fitted? I spent tremendous amounts of time just wasted, flushed down the toilet, trying to make sure that I could navigate whiteness as successfully as possible because I had gotten all those signals.
And let's be clear, this is for the comfort of others at our own discomfort. If I was to use plain language to do my best to clearly paint a picture of what this is like, I would say it's the equivalent of someone who maybe lives in an urban or metropolitan area of the US and they take public transportation to work and they wear sneakers instead of their work shoes. And they work in a corporate environment. So you have on, you know, maybe a suit, or you may have business casual attire on, and you have your gym shoes on or your sneakers on, and you've packed your shoes in a separate bag. When you get to the office, within the first few minutes of arrival, you change your shoes. Why do you do that? So that you could pull together and have a holistic, right, perception that is really for other people that you should be taken seriously, that you look completely uniform and professional. And those shoes might be very uncomfortable, but you have made this change for the comfort of those around you. That's the easiest way I could think of to describe it.
Wow. Look at you coming out with the metaphors too. That's a good one. That's an easy one. That's a super easy association. So it sounds like, you know, we've both been on this journey of making ourselves more palatable so that people feel comfortable. And I think as women especially, you know, there's a lot of messaging that is telling us to take up less space and to, you know, be quieter, and to not, you know, live in full color and full reflection. And, you know, some of that is just flat out racism, especially for Black women. So,
yeah, I mean, Leah, listen, not for me, not anymore. I'm done. And it's very easy for me now to make choices that are in my best interest. And I am willing to say no to things that, you know, may change the level of opportunity that may exist in the short term for my long-term comfort and for me to be my true authentic self at all times. I'm very much at a take it or leave it. I trust in myself. I trust in my abilities and I trust the value that I bring to the table in circumstances, especially in professional environments. So, sometimes you're making decisions in your own best interest for your own comfort, right? I'm going to leave my gym sneakers on for the day. I'm not changing into those heels because I can get to the meetings quicker. I can get to my desk quicker so that I can be more productive. So I'm leaving on my gym sneakers. And that's just how I'm living my life now.
I love it. Tell us your story. Tell us your story about your most recent interaction where you decided you're not going to make yourself palatable.
Right. So I'll give you a little bit of background and I'll jump right into it. So the business that I'm working on now is in the field of fertility. It's quite new for me. My background has been in various brands and various industries, consumer packaged goods, women's health products, but now I'm diving deep into the realm of fertility. So I am establishing my name, my brand, and myself, along with the company that I've started, in the world of all things fertility, which is a really niche industry. So I'm at a point where any opportunity that presents itself that's aligned with my vision and my objectives for my brand and for my business, I try to leverage them. I try to create opportunities and be open to opportunities that are extended to me that are fully in line with my beliefs and my mission for my company. And as a result of that, I have created a network of individuals that continues to expand and I truly hope continues to grow so that these opportunities continue to flourish. I was recently referred an opportunity and recommended to show up as a panelist for a virtual webinar because, again, this is COVID times. This is a very recent situation. We're still in COVID. So this opportunity was virtual and it was to show up as a panelist for a virtual conference along with two other individuals that have roles within the area and industry of fertility. One was a reproductive endocrinologist, so a doctor, a fertility doctor. Another was an advocate in the space of fertility as well. And the topic of the panel was fertility and race, right? And the goal, as it was explained to me, was to talk about what it's like, the experiences of not only just women, but people of color, as it relates to all facets, the opportunities, the social pressures, the financial pressures, you know, just the information and accessibility to care as it relates to all things fertility. Whether it's endometriosis, whether it's fibroids, whether it's different things that cause infertility in couples. And so I said, oh, amazing. This is right up my alley. I did my due diligence like I do. I had a conversation before agreeing to come on, despite the recommendation that came from a very reputable source. It was actually a doctor, the doctor that was on the panel or chosen to be on the panel as well. And I had a conversation with the host of the event, and I checked out the credentials. They were mediocre, but enough to start to build the brand. And again, I'm very early in the stages of my company, so these type of opportunities I would still, you know, take advantage of. It wasn't a paid opportunity, but it was the opportunity where the value that I saw would come in different ways, which was exposure, which was relationships, which was networking. Content, right? I'm a marketer. I've said that many times on this show. So creating content that can be leveraged in other channels is priceless. So at the very least, I would leave with that in addition to the relationships and networks. And if I could just help one person by something that I would share and educate them on based on my experience in this field, professionally and personally, that as well was something that I would be very pleased with. So it sounded like a great opportunity. It was relatively short notice. I want to say it was around 2 weeks notice, but it worked. So her name was Sally, not Karen, but we will call her Karen for the duration of the episode from this point forward.
Noted.
Karen asked me, you know, to provide my bio. She asked me to write specifically how I would like to be mentioned in any materials on the website, things like that, and also send a headshot to be included on any promotional materials as well.
Standard stuff, right?
Very standard stuff, things that I already had. You know, it was just a matter of putting together an email and providing that to her.
So started off reasonable. Okay.
Started off reasonable. The requests were reasonable. And what I saw in terms of the credibility of the organization and those affiliated, it seemed fine, right? It wasn't stellar, but it was reputable enough for me to want to be a part of it. Provided all the things, like you said earlier, I had all the receipts ready to go in the time frame that was required and sent that over pretty much the next day. with exactly how I wanted to be referenced on any materials, the headshot that I preferred to be used, and the bio and background, which she could include on any sort of printed materials or for my introduction in the panel. And I said, okay, great. You know, just send me over the materials once they're created so I can take a look at it. Standard process. And so it's about 2 to 3 days before the panel. And I was informed that because of the nature of the audience, that the promo materials wouldn't go out because it was all through social and digital channels. So I was informed that they wouldn't go out until about, you know, 2 to 3 days prior so that it's relevant, right? And what I was told, you know, and based on what I had seen, you know, this particular organization has audiences of, you know, tens of thousands. So, you know, whatever works. And if that's what has worked well to really bring in that an audience of that size, that's fine. There's nothing was alarming up until that point. What was alarming, which is where we start to really get into the Karen situation, was that it was about 3 days out and I hadn't seen anything. I hadn't seen anything with my name on it. I hadn't seen anything with my image on it. And I knew that we're getting to the point where things should have been sent out. I make the request to, you know, can I see the, you know, any promo graphic or any advertising? The following day, so now we're 2 days prior to the panel, I get sent the promo graphic. Lo and behold, my title is not as I have sent it. It is not specifically indicated as I requested to be referred, right? And I'm going to take a second, right, before I continue in the story. I believe for anyone, right, before we have jobs, before we have financial status, before we have homes, before we have friends, before we have anything, we have our name and we have what we stand for. I want to be called and referenced as such because this is what I believe in for myself. I stand firm in that. So when it comes to my name, how it's spelled, any title, and how I prefer to be revered on any public facing forum, channel, material, I'm very diligent about it being exactly how I've requested. And anybody listening, anybody that you have conversations with, whenever your name and likeness is used, everyone has a right to be called and referenced as they prefer to be called and referenced.
And I mean, I think that's important for more than one reason. One, as a sign of just basic respect, right? You ask me how I want to be, whether it's pronouns and how I want to be identified, whether it's nicknames or regardless of what it is, right? We don't determine as the person receiving the guest, we don't determine how they're, how we address them. We don't, that's not our right, right? So, and she asked you how you want to be addressed and then didn't follow it. So that's just like epic fail. But I think right. The other point is,
because let's be clear before you move on. If she didn't ask, I was going to send her anyway. You know, it's a great sign of partnership and respect to ask someone to send you exactly how they want to be mentioned on anything. So,
but it's also the most basic form. It's the most basic fundamental form of you having full dominion over yourself and your likeness. Right. If you'll allow someone or you'll allow someone to dictate or to pressure or manipulate how you want to be identified, how you want to be addressed, then it's like, what more latitude would they potentially take? So, and, you know, taking it a little bit out of your story is like, this is basic, right? This is basic in the way that you address people as humans. And I find it so strange and so odd that this person is bucking the system in this way on something that is really just the basic foundations, but therein lies the story.
So I get this back and I'm not referenced as I requested, right? I was very specific. My name, Amma Gordon, right? Brand marketer and entrepreneur, the name of my company and co-founder. The end. Very simple. I had which line, which word goes on which line. It was very clear. She sends me back the promo graphic and it has my name, It has the name of my company, and then it has patient underneath, which is not only misleading because this is a panel about, you know, fertility, medical care, but those on the panel are those that are in positions of authority, that have influence, that occupy a certain space in the industry with a sense of credibility, that also may be patients or maybe doctors, or it depends on who's on the panel, but that's not why you're there, right? No one is there because they're a doctor alone, and no one is there because they're a patient alone. Everyone on this panel, which was three individuals, including myself, was because of the credibility and the voice that they brought to the platform and to the topic, in addition to them maybe being a patient as well, or a doctor as well. So I get this back. It's wrong. I make a simple request. Hey, can you make this change? And I took into consideration, you know, time and spacing, you know, restraints. And I said, okay, well, you know, maybe if you can't do what I had requested a week ago, I will, you know, make a change and say, you know, just kind of tweak this, delete this word and add this. I got a swift response back. It can't be changed. So I don't know if anyone has ever had something where their name was misspelled or, you know, their title was misrepresented and it was something digital, right, that hadn't gone public yet. And someone told you that sucks to be you, you know, your name is this for the day.
Right. And we all know anyone who has ever done anything in a space where it is a partnership or any kind of collaboration, we all know anything can be changed. Literally up to moments before people walk into a room, things are changing. Things can potentially be moved. Now, it's not ideal, right? It's not the perfect situation, but your responsibility as the host is to host, right? Is to treat people as though you are welcoming them for free to use their time as a guest. So we all know that there is definitely opportunities for those things to change. And in your story, you already said, she said all the materials were digital. So it's not right. Even like there were hard copies floating around that she had to go and collect off of chairs. Like,
All of
it could have been changed.
That was the first example of her exercising some sort of authority and privilege that was self-appointed. Little does she know that this is what I do for a living, right? Brand marketing is what I do. I know that it is absolutely possible to make a change, especially because things are digital and before they've gone out. But of course, I find out that it's already gone out. And that's why she can't make the change. Now, that becomes an issue, right? Because the fact that something has gone out with my name and likeness on it that has not been approved or reviewed by myself is a huge issue that I have. Because like I said previously, all we have is our name, how we want to be referenced, and what we stand for. And when that's taken away, I have a huge problem with that, right? But I am a professional. And as we said, you know, in this episode and many others, I have had plenty of experience, you know, putting together in a very professional manner, you know, very clearly what I need and what needs to be changed, but in a respectful and polite way. So, you know, I send her back a note and I explain that I'm uncomfortable with how I've been referenced on the materials. I also explain what is standard practice for things to be reviewed and approved before they're disseminated to the public. And I also said, you know, how do you suggest we handle it? Let's put the ball in her park, right? You've already told me.
Look at that relationship management. Look at that giving her an opportunity to be innovative on her own. You don't like my suggestion? That's fine. How would you like to handle it?
Right.
Because it needs to be handled. So let's go.
Yeah. And this is where Karen took it a step further, right? So she's already exercised or sort of flexed some sort of muscle and authority to say, I'm sending out these materials without your approval. I don't care that it has your name and likeness on it. She's already made it clear and explicit that she's not going to change anything. And now we're at the point where, okay, well, how do we move forward? What are the next steps? And she responds very, I mean, listen, long-winded in an email, right? Because you know how that goes, right? Everything is, how can I hide behind something without directing something straight on and head on, right? And very long email where she makes many references to me using words that I asked her to remove from the promo graphic. And in the very beginning, also mentions that this might not be the right project for me, and then closes it out asking me if I'm going to continue to move forward and work with them. Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, to the naked eye, this seems like, oh shit, you know, this is not good. But to Ama, this is perfect. She has opened the door for me to walk out. She started it with a suggestion or a question, whether this is the right project for me. She continued to reference me using the term that I'd asked be taken out. And then she closed it with, let me know if you're going to continue. So I said, great. I know how to respond to this. I'm going to be very pleasant and, you know, reassure her that we are aligned with the overall objectives. I truly believe in what I'm doing. I'm passionate about helping others build families that have fertility challenges. I'm passionate about sharing information, educating, informing, sharing experiences of my own and others. We are aligned on that. So let's reinforce that. Let's get back to the very beginning of how we were introduced, why I was recommended, and why I agreed to do this. First paragraph, not too long, maybe about 5 sentences. Second, I reiterate what I said in my first note, which is that it is standard procedure, standard practice for anyone that is included on any public facing material to have the ability to review how they're referenced on that and have input. And then I close it out by saying, you know, after thanking her previously for the consideration for the opportunity, that I will not be moving forward. And given the short notice for us to iron out, this, right? It's at this point, I think it's the day or day before the panel. Good luck, you know, with the panel tomorrow. I do wish her luck. I do.
So wait. I know you do, but the way you navigated the professional direct success in the industry because it's a priority and a passion point for me, and then threaded in the shade. I mean, it's really sounds like it was a work of art email. And I mean, we've all been in corporate settings where we have had to clap back via email and make it palatable in the way that it's not like, listen, if you were standing in front of me, we'd have a problem. It sounds like you did an excellent job.
Yeah,
on the
clapback
email.
I mean, to tie it back to like career gems, right? Because yeah. This is about career gems for the journey. My recommendation is to keep those emails factual. Take out the emotion from it, and then it helps keep it professional, because it's very difficult for those to debate facts, proven and supported facts. So if that is what is included in the email and you've left out opinions, perceptions, things like that, then it makes it a lot easier for it to be very clear what your intentions are, you know, for the company, for the opportunity, whatever the endeavor is. So that's what it was. I was factual about the mission of my company. I was factual about, what she stands for and why we agreed to work together on this. And I was factual about standard practice, right? So all the things were there, you know what I mean? So, and then I was also factual about, I'm exiting stage left. So you open the door and I am walking out. That is a fact.
So you covered so many things there, and I wanted to first just applaud you for standing in your truth, right? And like leveling up on your like, okay, this is not working for me. Something about it is not right. Advocating for yourself, standing strong in your advocacy for yourself and not wavering. So first, like that deserves acknowledgement. Not that it should have been necessary, but it was. And you know,
it thank just you, makes Leah.
It clear. It makes thank it clear. You. You're welcome. People gonna try you, right? People are gonna try you. And she did it. And I think in listening to the story, again, because I did have the benefit of, you know, experiencing some of it with you. She was ill prepared in any way, shape, or form for you to actually walk away. There was some posturing there. And when you called her bluff, she was, you know, she wasn't ready. She definitely wasn't ready for that bluff to get called.
I don't know if I would call it calling bluff. I was less concerned with her. So all of my actions had nothing to do with what I thought she was doing. All of my actions had to do with the standards that I set for myself, the partnerships I wanted to align myself with, and the level of discomfort that I was not willing to accept. I was uncomfortable with how I was being referenced. I was uncomfortable with the fact that it had already been released without my approval. And I was uncomfortable with proceeding with an organization or a partnership that was not aligned with me and what I stand for. The fact that she may have been bluffing or may not, it was irrelevant to me. So I just wanted to make that part clear, right? But I also, oh, sorry, go ahead. You want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I totally believe you that part was irrelevant. I was more referring to, the idea of people trying to arm twist and trying to make an attempt at you coming off your conviction, right? By using words or phrases that can, you know, position you as trying to create some sense of fear or this faux authority that she's given herself. Like,
yes, she that's wasn't, what it was.
She wasn't ready to for you, right? I'm sure that tactic works on in other settings and other audiences, and that's what I'm saying. She got the right one on this discussion today. Not only did you clap back professionally, but then you exited stage left. Like, no hard feelings, no emotion, right? We're misaligned, and I think it's best, right, for me to go my way and you to go yours. So, well
yeah. Done. And I thought it was over, right? This Karen story ain't over. So, so the email is sent. No, it ain't a Karen until, you know, this last piece, right? So I thought it was over, right? You know, I sent that email. That was the final one. It wasn't too much back and forth. It was literally, you know, I think maybe a total of 4 or 5 emails. 2 were sent by me. And that was it. So I, you know, went back to my home office and was, you know, getting some work done. And then I get reached out to by one of the doctors on the panel. The doctor that recommended me for the panel, you know, through the back end. And what was communicated to me was, you know, something along the lines, you know, don't quote me because, you know, it was about 2 weeks ago now, but saying, you know, hey, Amma, you know, Dr. So-and-so reached out to me, right? I won't say the name. And, you know, and he mentioned, you know, this is a doctor that works with Karen, who is hosting the panel. And, you know, Karen called Dr. So-and-so. Dr. So-and-so called me, who's also a doctor, for those listening, and asked me to reach out to you. And she said that you guys couldn't agree on things and asked me if I could smooth it over. So I said, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Karen did not reach out to a doctor who was practicing, right, with priority things and have him reach out to another doctor as if he's my daddy or something. I don't know that he could force me to do something. Right? I don't know. And then lie about what was happening. There's, you know, we have agreed. You have said if this might not be the right project for me, and to let you know if I'm going to continue. There's no disagreement. This is not the right project for me, and I will not be continuing. There's no disagreement. I asked for me to be referenced as such, consistent with what I had submitted in the very beginning of the partnership, and you declined, right? You decided to disregard what I requested and do what you wanted to do. And you also decided to share to the public information that had my name on it that I hadn't seen. It's not that we can't agree on things. It's Karen has done a series of things that were disrespectful, that was in a sense of privilege and authority, that was self-appointed. And I wouldn't stand for it moving forward now that I'm aware of it. There's no disagreement. And thinking that Karen could reach out to a doctor, to reach out to another doctor, who in this sense are the authorities in this space of fertility, right? And, you know, of medicine, doctors are the authorities, as if they could then strong arm me to do not what, you know, I've asked after things have been changed and to maybe, you know, have a conversation, but to just get me to do what Karen wanted me to do. She still was not going to make the change. She's still going to reference me as such. She had already sent out the promo materials without my approval. She just wanted me to get on board. And if it wasn't working with the method that she was employing, she was going to call in the big dogs, the quote unquote authorities in this space, to have me do what she wanted me to do. Child, let me tell you something. Karen has no idea. My name is Amma Gordon. And from birth, you ask my parents, not possible to force me to do something that I do not want to do. I don't care who you are.
I can second that. I have observed said things very, very many times. I can fact check you on that one. So this fell down in a number of areas, right? The story itself.
And you know what? Listen, because, you know, I spoke to you know, the doctor that I had the relationship with. And she was doing what Karens do, victimizing herself. How could she do this to me? Oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? It's the day before. Oh my God. If you don't get yourself up off of this metaphorical floor, you know, that I'm envisioning, right? You know what I mean? And some crocodile tears. Not the
metaphorical floor.
Get your ass up, okay? Get your ass up off the floor and wipe them crocodile tears, because we are in this situation because of everything that you have done. I have done nothing but stand in my truth, be proud of myself, and just asked to be revered as I revere myself. That is it. That is it. Everything else that happened was imposed and inflicted by you. Why are you crying? Why are you the victim? I don't understand what's happening. And why do you think that you can call the authorities of this space to twist my arm and get me to do what you want me to do, despite the fact that at this point, I'm more than uncomfortable. It's against my moral code at this point. But you're sad and you're crying and woe is you. Karen, if you don't go have a seat somewhere.
Woo. Okay. This was deep. This was deep. I wanted to ask what your thoughts were. I was going to share what the key takeaways for this episode. How do we let our listeners do apply these gems, right? How do they make these gems theirs? And number one, keep your communication written and factual. Take all the emotion out of the email, state the facts as they are, so that any dialogue that's had is based on facts. Number two, know when to walk away. Know when there's nothing to salvage and the time has come that it's better for you to walk away.
Know when to walk away. Because, I mean, if you guys haven't gathered, I did not join that panel. I did not show up. I did not follow up with any additional conversation because there was nothing to be said to smooth anything over. I completely walked away and closed the door on my way out.
And even better, you said it for me. Then number three, and the final one is wish them well and continue to kill it, right? Continue to crush it in your field, in your neighborhood, with whatever the work is that you do. Continue to elevate the game and make sure that your image, your brand is not in any way tarnished by this interaction. I wish you well. I want you to have nothing but success. I'm going to be over here crushing it. And that's the best revenge. Success is the best revenge in these kinds of scenarios. Because like you said, there was nothing more that needed to be said. So
there was nothing more to be said. And sometimes, I didn't mention this in the story, but sometimes you will be told that you are the only one, that you're causing a ruckus of some sort. She did mention that in the email. She's, you know, she's never had this issue before. Maybe, maybe not. But that doesn't change that this doesn't work for me. So I would encourage, you know, despite sometimes being told that you are the problem, no one else is causing a ruckus. No one else is questioning. No one else is making this request. That does not mean that it's okay.
It doesn't mean that it's okay. And the thing that makes it very clear to me about this whole story and this whole experience is there's what you have, what you want, and what you need, and there's what they have and what they want and they need. And if that meets in the middle and it works, fantastic. But if it doesn't, that doesn't make me wrong, right? If what I want, if what I need doesn't work for you and you don't want to honor it, that doesn't make me wrong for wanting it. That makes us need to go our separate ways, right? There's no middle ground for us to be able to find. And in true partnership or true collaboration, people should respect that. So keep your communication factual. Know when to walk away, which is a heavy one. We should probably do a whole episode on know when to walk away. And then wish them well and continue to kill it. Because that's the reason why you got nominated to be on the panel in the first place, right? Because you're awesome and because you're killing it. So it's not for a lack of your ability or notoriety. So this has been real. This is fantastic. Any last final thoughts for the guest?
Stand in your truth. And because at the end of the day, you have your name, what you call yourself, and what you believe in. And it's okay to rest in your comfort always, even if other people are uncomfortable. Because all that means is maybe that's not the right place and the right setting for you to be in, whether it's professionally or personally.
Awesome. All right, guys, this has been a great one. I'm so excited. And we will see you on the next episode.
Bye, guys. This was Leah Murphy and Amma Gordon. Thank you so much for listening. We hope this episode gave you some real gems that you can use on your own career journey. Come back for the next episode and be sure to follow us on social at Gems for the Journey on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can also email us at info@gemsforthejourney.org. That's info@gemsforthejourney.org. And let us know if you have any comments or questions.